The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Ray Allen. Good to see Ray on the other side of the glass. Oh, it's been a while. But Ray, of course, was our producer-engineer for a couple of years here on the Buckmaster Show, and now he is the operations manager at KVOI, so I feel very privileged to have Ray on the other side of the glass. The midweek edition of Buckmaster, it's Wednesday, the 18th of September, 2019. You're listening to 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course, 24/7 live streaming at kvoi.com. All of our podcasts for Buckmaster very conveniently archived for you 24/7 on your schedule. Just visit buckmastershow.com. Our live line number 790-2040. Let's get going now with the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes. She is the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine, and she is the Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. Let's go now to the University of Arizona and Dr. Victoria Mazes with us on the live line. How are you, Dr. Mazes?
I am doing well. How are you today?
Doing very well. Here we go. The change of seasons upon us. You can kind of feel it in the air, can't you?
You sure can. And I have to say the mornings have been gorgeous.
They certainly have. A new study is out on bone health and vitamin D. This is always interesting because I think there are a lot of misconceptions about vitamin D and what it can do for bone density. Let's begin with this study. What are some of the highlights of this study, Dr. Mazes?
Well, I agree with you, Bill. The information about vitamin D keeps evolving, and we keep learning more. This was a study published in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, and they randomized 311 adults who were between the ages of 55 and 70. Now, all of these folks were healthy. They had some bone loss, what we call osteopenia, but they did not have osteoporosis. They had normal vitamin D levels, and they also had normal calcium levels. And then they divided them into three groups and gave them either a small amount of vitamin D, 400 international units, a medium size, 4,000, or a very large size, 10,000 daily for 3 years. And they found some surprising results.
I would think that, you know, the standard thinking has been vitamin D is good for bone density. What were the results?
Well, what they found was that when they gave those higher doses, the 4,000 or 10,000, there was actually more loss of bone density. So, you know, once again, this is that message of more is not better. You know, we often have this idea of a little is good, more is better. And for vitamin D, like so many other things, it appears that there is an optimal amount. The good news is that for vitamin D, you could actually have a blood test and find out exactly what your blood level is. This is covered by most insurances. And then you could decide whether or not you may need a supplement and how much you need.
Let me backtrack a little bit. Is some bone loss fairly typical, Dr. Mazes, for people in that age range here that we were talking about? That were part of this study, I believe you said over 55 to 70, I think you said.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as we age, sadly, we typically lose some of our bone density, and that is part of normal aging. If we lose too much, we're at risk of breaking a bone when we fall. And the classic kinds of fractures are if we fall on our outstretched hand, we might break our wrist. But if we fall hard on our bum, we might break our hip. And hip fractures are very, very damaging to one's quality of life. Sometimes people don't get back up and going. They end up being really limited, perhaps in a wheelchair. Perhaps they have to spend time in a nursing home. And it is very much in all of our best interest to avoid breaking our hips.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
So we don't want to lose too much bone density. And so there's a variety of dietary supplements that have been thought about to help prevent the bone loss, and there have also been some medicines that have been recommended.
The people in this study, were they looking at the legs or were they looking at a particular bone in general? What was that about?
Yeah, they looked at a few of the different bones. And again, you know, that's interesting because, as I said, you know, when you fall on that outstretched hand, you can break your wrist. And there was indeed an increased risk with the higher dose of vitamin D, that 4,000 or 10,000. They also looked at the leg bone and found, once again, that there was an increased risk in your lower leg bone, the tibia. There was an increased risk with higher doses of breaking that lower leg bone. Interestingly, the hips were stable. So having higher amounts of vitamin D did not seem to affect the bone density at the hip. So again, I think the message is that vitamin D may have what we call a U-shaped curve. When you think about the letter U, the optimal amount is at the bottom, in the bucket, so to speak. But if you're at the tip, if you have too much, or if you're at the tip and have too little, then you are going to be at an increased risk of breaking a bone.
Ingrid has called us, and she has a question about vitamin D. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Yes. There, as far as I know, there are two vitamin D. One is D3, the other is D4, ergocalciferol and cholecalciferol. Exactly. Which one are you talking about, and which is more commonly put into product? I'm looking at one that says cholecalciferol, and the other one I can find.
It's a good question.
So it's a great question. The two vitamin Ds that are typically in supplements are vitamin D2 and vitamin D3. And I'm going to now take you to a different study that was published just in the past year that was published in the British Medical Journal. And that was a big meta-analysis. So they combined multiple studies, in this case 52, and they looked at 75,000 people, so much bigger than a 311-person trial. And what they found was that in this large study, vitamin D3, but not D2, was associated with lower risk of death from cancer. And I'm glad you brought up that question, Ingrid, because when we think about supplementing vitamin D, one of the reasons it's important is for our bone health. And in a minute, we should come back to the importance of the combination of vitamin D plus calcium. But vitamin D doesn't only affect the bones. It also affects our risk of cancer. So in that meta-analysis, what was found was that vitamin D3, but not vitamin D2, reduced the overall risk of dying of cancer.
Okay,
and quite a lot, by 16%.
Yeah, and these high doses that were done in the study that we began the program with did not increase the risk of cancer, kidney stones, liver problems, or fractures, correct?
Yeah, they did increase the risk of fractures, but
okay.
Not the other problems.
Okay.
This is one of the areas where it is good to tell your doctor if you're taking a supplement, because vitamin D is one that we could do a blood test, a very simple blood test, and find out, are you low in your vitamin D level? Are you at an optimal level, or are you too high? And we'd really like to keep you in the middle, that you're at an optimal level, and we don't want you to be too low or too high.
Now, we have not talked about calcium.
Right. So calcium is the other part of the picture. This study was focused on vitamin D, and there have been a few studies now that actually have shown vitamin D alone does not improve bone density and does not reduce the risk of fractures. The studies show that if you combine vitamin D and calcium, that is when you end up having a reduced risk of fractures. And it looks like if you're just going on the dose and not doing a blood test, it's about 800 international units of vitamin D3, and then the calcium is supposed to be somewhere between 1,000 and 1,200 milligrams, but that doesn't all have to be a supplement. We all get calcium in our diets. We get it from dairy foods, and sometimes a lot. Like, for example, a serving of milk could be 300 milligrams. A serving of a hard cheese could be 300 milligrams. Yogurt. So you can, if you eat a lot of dairy, you can easily get your calcium for dairy. If you don't eat dairy, it shows up in fish, especially things like sardines that still have little bones in them. It shows up in leafy greens and almonds. So there's a lot of places to get your calcium besides a supplement.
All right. We'll continue our discussion about good bone health with Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, after we take our break here on the Buckmaster Show. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, Tucson's source for trusted news talk. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's source for trusted news talk. Dr. Victoria Mazes, the executive director at the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, and the Buckmaster Show contributor on health is with us on the live line, and we are going to continue our discussion about bone health. Before we do that, we had a question came in on Facebook, and maybe we can address this real quickly, Dr. Mazes. About this year's flu season and flu shots. Do you have any idea what the makeup is? That's a question from our friend David on Facebook.
Great question, David. I have not yet seen the makeup of the flu shot, so I'm going to pass on that one.
Okay, there you go. Back to bone health. We touched a little bit about calcium, certainly. We talked at length in the first segment about vitamin D. Vitamin K2, what is that, and what is the connection to our bone health?
Yes, so most of us have heard of calcium and vitamin D, but fewer of us have heard of vitamin K. And vitamin K turns out to be really important in helping us make strong bones. It actually works synergistically with vitamin D. Vitamin K comes in two different forms. One is vitamin K1, and it's made by plants, and the other is vitamin K2, and it's made by bacteria. The plant source is easy to get. If you eat lettuce, you actually reduce your risk of a hip fracture by 45%.
Wow.
So one serving of lettuce a day in women, and I suspect it's true in men too, but women have been studied more when it comes to bone health because they're at greater risk of fractures. So one serving of lettuce a day reduces your risk of a hip fracture by 45%. But the K2 is a little harder to get, and it's something that I actually recommend that people find in a supplement.
Mm. And what form would that take in a supplement, and how much?
So you actually have to read the label to be sure that it is vitamin K2. The vitamin K2 is usually made in mushrooms. The dose is going to vary, but probably about 150 micrograms, that's MCG, a day, because that's what has been shown to preserve our bones and our spine and reduce the risk of bone loss in the hip. So about 150 micrograms a day. And it turns out that lots of people actually are a little deficient in vitamin K, so it is one of those that's worth considering as a supplement. And then there's lots of other trace nutrients, which you get if you eat a lot of vegetables in your diet. But if you're not eating a lot of vegetables, then you want to think again about a bone supplement that will have a little bit of boron, a little zinc, copper, manganese, some vitamin C, B vitamins, because all of those are also important for your body to have sufficient amounts to create healthy bone.
I wanted to circle back. You mentioned the difference in bone density between men and women. So women are more prone to problems with the bone generally. Is that something we can talk about?
Well, there's two things that happen in women. One is that women tend to have lower bone density to begin with than men. And this is because in general, women have lower weight and lower muscles. And so it turns out that our bones are dynamic and they respond to the stresses placed on them. So if you're a 300-pound individual, you're going to have stronger bones than if you're a 100-pound individual. Now, there's obviously downsides to being 300 pounds and sometimes some downsides to being 100 pounds unless you're really, really short.
Yeah.
One reason women have lower bone density is just that they weigh less. The second reason is that at menopause, when women stop producing estrogen from their ovaries, they have a rapid reduction in bone as a response to the lack of estrogen. And so they have a fall off during those years that's pretty significant, as opposed to the more gentle, gradual aging process that men face and that women face at other ages besides right around that menopausal period.
Speaking about bone health with Dr. Victoria Mazes, we have not talked about exercising that will strengthen the bones. Is exercise a good way to build up some bone strength?
Absolutely. So, for example, one risk of having weak bones is for some reason you have to be put to bed. We used to put people to bed rest for all sorts of reasons, and we don't do that very much in medicine anymore. But if for some reason you are at prolonged bed rest, say, for example, someone with a challenging pregnancy who's told to rest in bed until the baby is well developed enough to be born, you may lose bone density. The contrast for that is that when you stimulate bones, when you hike, when you jump rope, when you do anything that kind of pounds on your heels, or if you carry a heavy backpack, all of those demand stronger bones and will help you build stronger bones.
Is there things like yoga? How about that for bone strength?
Yeah, great question. You know, you would think on the one hand, well, you know, yoga's gentle and what could it do? But there was a very interesting study that got published in 2016 in the journal Topics in Geriatric Rehab that showed that people who did 12 poses and it took 12 minutes a day, this was a 10-year study, and they looked at 740 volunteers, and they compared their pre-yoga bone mineral density with their post-yoga bone mineral density. And what they found is if you did these 12 poses, and they're common poses, they include things like tree and triangle and bridge and some twists, but things that you would typically do in a yoga class, they actually found that there was increased bone density in the spine and in the hip. So that's fantastic. Yoga is one of the things that one can do.
All right. Had a call that came in. Caller gave their question to Ray, and here's the question. It's on my screen. Does bone broth, using broth that's, I guess, ground up bone, increase bone density?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I'm not aware of a single study of bone broth for increasing bone density. What I would say is the way you make bone broth is by getting hopefully organic bones and simmering them for 12 to more hours in a pot, hopefully with vegetables and not just bones. And this is a source of nutrients and of minerals. And as I said earlier, you can get those minerals from a supplement or from eating lots of vegetables. But a bone broth that's made with bones and vegetables would be another way to get that. So while I'm not aware of any studies, it's probably not a bad idea.
Had another question about a bone density test, Dr. Mays, is who should get them and what is a bone density test, please?
Yeah, so usually bone density is tested with something called a DEXA, D-E-X-A, which stands for dual emission X-ray absorbitometry or something like that. And what it does, it's a very small amount of radiation that measures the bone density at the places we worry about most, so your spine and your hip. So it doesn't measure in every bone, but it looks at your spine and it looks at your hips. And it compares you to other people your own age and to people at their maximal bone density, which is about age 30. And that tells you a little bit about your particular risk. So people who have really bad DEXAs, which we would say is more than 2.5 standard deviations away from that young age, are at a higher risk of a fracture. What it doesn't do is it doesn't tell us about the quality of the bone. So that's where that test is a little limited. The recommendations are not one that I necessarily agree with. They suggest people start in their mid-60s, but I think that it's helpful to have a baseline and know where you started, because say you never built strong bones. You know, you were a kid who didn't have that good a diet, or you weren't that physically active, and you started off with kind of low bones, but now you're maintaining them. That would be different from someone with a rapid loss of bone around menopause or for some other reason. For example, they had diabetes or they had to take corticosteroids. So I think it's helpful to have a baseline. Usually we do it at about 50, and then we follow every few years depending on what we find.
What about recommendations for men for that test?
I think men should have DEXAs as well. Men don't usually run into trouble with their bones until they're a bit older, so we could start doing those DEXAs a little later in men.
And would this then, would it show if you had osteoporosis?
Correct. That's how we now diagnose osteoporosis. We diagnose it by an abnormal DEXA, more than 2.5 standard deviations away from the norm.
And the treatment for osteoporosis?
Well, we need another hour for
that, Bill. I know, and I've only got a few seconds, actually. But the treatment is is okay? Is it getting better?
That's a complicated question. Okay. There are lots of medicines, and some of them work better than others.
All right. Yeah. Well, why don't we pick up on that at another session, Dr. Mazes? Any news from the Center for Integrative Medicine, the Andrew Weil Center?
Yes, we're going to be starting a podcast. So look for us wherever you find your podcast beginning in 2020.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mazes. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Dr. Victoria Mazes with us on The Buckmaster Show. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com. And of course, you can follow her on Twitter at vmazes, her bio, along with all of our contributors at buckmastershow.com. CBS News, a quick break from CBS and a few of our great partners. Coming up, we'll be back with Sharon Bronson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
And everybody is talking. You're at the right place for talk. It's 10:30, The Voice, your source in Southern Arizona for trusted news talk. I'm Bill Buckmaster. We're here each weekday during the noon hour. This portion of our program presented by one of our great sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. The temperature over in Silver City has been running this summer at least, 8 to up to 20 degrees cooler, depending on the day. And that's a recent in itself. After a long, hot summer in Tucson, to make a drive about 3 hours over from Tucson to Silver City. And this is a beautiful time of year as the foliage will begin turning in the high country with the aspens. It's a really pretty time of year in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. That's that southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment, and it really is a beautiful place. Visit southwestnewmexico, spelled out, .org, for the listing of great places to stay, all sorts of activities, recreation going on in the area, including visiting the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. All right, let's go now on the live line to downtown Tucson in the offices of Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson. Supervisor Bronson, how are you today?
I am doing just fine, Bill. The weather is cooling down a little bit here.
Yeah, it is. And you've had a history, haven't you, with the Land of Enchantment? Know a little bit about New Mexico.
Oh, I do. I have some family there, and I love to spend time in Santa Fe and Albuquerque.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area. Yesterday was an important meeting in Pima County. We've talked about this, it seems like. We've talked about the run-up to that meeting for weeks now. And this was about a proposed nicotine buying ban for Pima County residents under the age of 21. What was the final result on that, Sharon Bronson?
The proposed ordinance was defeated 3-2. There will not be an ordinance. The city of Tucson, I understand, is still considering an ordinance. What was curious about yesterday's meeting and the vote was that the individuals representing American Heart Association and I think it was American Lung Association, anyway, the two national groups, they spoke at the hearing and they indicated they couldn't support the ordinance as it had been rewritten.
Why is that?
They did not think the penalty. Well, I am surmising. I'm not sure that exactly what their thinking was, but as best as I can determine, they were opposed to the ordinance, the newer version of the ordinance, because the penalties were not restrictive enough. They didn't think the ordinance had any teeth.
And you were kind of the swing vote on this. You had Allie Miller and Steve Christie, the two Republicans on the board. You joined with them in voting no. When it came down to it, what was the bottom line as far as your opposition, Sharon?
Two reasons. Number one, I was concerned and perplexed from an ethical perspective as to why we allow individuals to vote at 18, to enlist in the military and die for their country, potentially, and yet we don't trust them to make their own health decisions. So I was not happy with the age being 21 when indeed they're put at risk at 18. And then the other piece that concerned me was the penalties themselves. The buyer and the seller, and again, if we raise the age to 21, the buyer and the seller who are actually committing the infraction would not be punished. It would be the store owner who has no control over the buying and the selling of the product. So the punishment didn't fit the crime. And it's just like as if I were, if my daughter was speeding and I'm the one that got the ticket because I allowed her to drive the car. I mean, it bothered me from that perspective as well.
And there's the whole enforcement thing. The Pima County Health Department has enough on their plate. This would add another piece, wouldn't it?
It would add another piece, and it would mean that we would have to add, the health department would have to add personnel. And in addition, the store owners were going to be charged a fee. And again, I'm not sure that the way the ordinance was crafted, it was a sufficient deterrence. I think we all, and it was really aimed not so much at tobacco as it was at the vaping products. That's what the concern was. And I think we all share that concern that vaping is bad, and we've had deaths related to vaping. A number of jurisdictions have banned the e-flavored vaping devices, and I think that ultimately we're seeing the same sort of movement at the federal and state level, that what rather than make this an enforcement issue, I think you just ban the sale of these products because they are harmful, and I think the FDA and the CDC need to step step in and be part of that solution.
The property taxes are in the mail. In fact, they have arrived at most locations, certainly at the Buckmaster household. Is there a big change this year or what?
I think if you look and understand that there are over 100 taxing districts in Pima County, and Pima County, the office of the treasurer sends out these statements. They're consolidated statements. So you have, if you look at your property tax bill, you're going to have school districts, you may have a fire district, you may have a special district. If you have a lighting district, there are those, and there are the community facilities district. I think that if you look at overall from the perspective of valuation, what's interesting is that the assessor has consistently over the course of, I don't know, the last 4 or 5 years, our assessed valuations go up approximately 5%. I don't know if you've looked at yours, but that's what we're seeing countywide. What we've seen in terms of our levy is that we actually reduce the primary rate, the levy, but your taxes may have gone up as a result of your assessed valuation going up. And Pima County has only four of the items on it are related to Pima County, and that is the Pima County primary property tax, the library district tax, and the debt service tax, as well as regional flood control district. And so we kept the rate, the tax rate on the regional flood control district, we kept it the same, and we actually reduced the rate for the primary. Your library went up a little bit, and your county debt service stayed the same. So overall, your tax rate for the county was down about 1%. But your bills may have gone up because of assessed valuation.
This whole idea about consolidating property tax bills, is that possible?
We send out, because we just send out a combined property act bill to everybody, mm-hmm. and we collect it. The treasurer does, but then, you know, we only have four of those items. And then the school district, fire districts, once the treasurer collects those monies, they are then sent to the individual taxing districts that levied them. Okay. So you may send your bill into Pima County or pay your bill to Pima County, but we don't keep it all. We only have, again, those four taxing jurisdictions.
Okay. People get confused about it, but we'll be back with Sharon Bronson. I'm going to take a break right here. It's Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk. Be right back right after this break.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Green Things. Green Things has been, well, everybody I know goes over there to do all their, get all their wonderful plants for the nursery. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a destination now, not only for all of the things that are green on their 13-acre site, but Zocalo is there. For years, Zocalo had a great reputation over there at Country Club and Broadway in that vicinity. Well, the Zocalo folks are over at Green Things, and they're not just over there. They've got five shops and like their own little Zocalo village. So what it all means is Green Things has become really a destination in itself, not just for plants, but some wonderful pottery, great handmade furniture and merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Sharon Bronson's with us on the live line. Sharon, have you begun your thinking about fall gardening?
I would love to be thinking about fall gardening, but where I live, I have critters, and the minute I put a plant in, they enjoy it, and I don't get to.
There you go. So you're more of the a la natural desert, so to speak.
Absolutely. And where I get all my good goodies, my good fresh vegetables, is at the Rito Farmers Market on Sundays. So I can't wait for the fall crops to come in.
But you certainly know about Green Things because it's right there by that Brandy Fenton Park.
It's right down the road. You're right.
Let's talk a little bit about criminal justice and criminal justice reform. I'm sure you noticed this sparring match, the Star Sunday or two ago, had the kind of debate between Joel Fineman, the Pima County public defender, and Barbara LaWall, the Pima County attorney, over the handling of drug user cases. What were some of your thoughts on that?
I don't know, Bill, if you're aware of it, but during our budget process, we adopted a new commission, the Criminal Justice Reform Commission, and they're having the same conversation that you saw with the discussion between Mr. Fineman and Ms. LaWall, their view of drug, how you charge drug people who have committed drug infractions. What we have seen typically, and it's not only our county attorney, but in Pinal County, in Maricopa County, and in several of the other counties, what we are seeing that on these drug offenses, often there are multiple charges. And, that really ends up criminalizing poverty. Most of the charges are for nonviolent activities. And I think we're taking a real hard look, or the commission is, about how we charge and how we arrest. I think those are the two key things. The Tucson Police Department has started a deflection program if it's a minor drug offense. And again, we're not talking people who are selling quantities and quantities of drugs like fentanyl or even marijuana. We're talking about just their own use, or perhaps a little extra so that they can continue their habit. But we're trying to decriminalize that in the deflection program. Rather than arrest them for anything, take them to a rehab facility and then tries to help them kick the habit. And I think we'd be better served, and it would be a better outcome for them. And I think we would be better served in that it would be a less expensive outcome for the taxpayer. So just a whole re-looking at how we think about drug offenses in particular. And we're not winning the war on drugs, as you can see. This started, four decades ago at least, It doesn't seem to be, we don't seem to be making headway using the current heuristic of punishing people for possessing controlled stuff. It just doesn't seem to be working. And it's loading up on our system, because once they're incarcerated and once they're convicted, there's recidivism. We send them to prison. We take them through our court system. It's a very, very expensive process, and the outcomes aren't adequate. It's costing us money, and we're not solving the problem.
Is Ms. LaWall cooperating with this with this effort that's underway?
She is, I think, looking at some options, but I haven't seen, or at this point, we haven't really seen from her perspective, she's still overcharging, or it appears that the county attorney's office, from reviews of best practices, may be overcharging on these issues. But again, she's an independent elected official. She's a row author. So members of the Board of Supervisors, should we want to have a policy like that, we cannot enforce it. It's up to the county attorney to make the decision on how best to protect the public. And we're hoping we'll get more cooperation as we continue the dialogue.
How is that effort going back in March, Pima County, in the effort to safely lower the jail population, hired a gentleman, Mike Stieber, I believe.
Mike Stieber,
to the Sheriff's Department as their correction staff, as the jail population coordinator. What have you heard how that's been going since March?
He's been doing a great job in actually getting us the kind of data we need to understand who's in the jail and why. And what we've discovered is that we have a number of, I was going to use the word frequent flyers, but a number of people who keep recycling into the jail. And most of them have mental health issues. So we're, again, looking at a program that directs them to treatment as opposed to jail, which is, will have better outcome for them, and it will be less expensive for the taxpayer. I think the other thing we're seeing is that sometimes people have been sitting there. We have somebody who was there for, I think, over a year awaiting trial. And so how do you fix that? And we're working on those things. So it's providing data for us so we can see where the system has problems and how they can then be addressed. And the sheriff has been working very cooperative in working with us on this, and as you see, because he hired Mike, and that's given us a real wake-up call in terms of how we populate the jail and who shouldn't be there as opposed to who should be. Obviously, if it's a violent crime, we need to keep that offender off the street. But if it's a nonviolent crime, rather than keep them in jail, we need to give them an alternative to jail, whether that might be ankle monitoring or some other solution, but to get them out of the jail quickly, because the outcome will be better if we do, both for the system and for the individual.
All right, only a couple of minutes left. Your colleague on the board, Supervisor Allie Miller, Republican District 1, posted on her Facebook page that she's got a real mold problem at the Pima County building in her office, and she's threatening to contact OSHA if Pima County doesn't do something about pulling up her carpet. Do you know anything about this?
I heard about it, I think, when you did. But again, if there is a problem, our risk management is reviewing it. And if they discover there is a problem, it will be dealt with very speedily. As you know, our building was built in the 1960s. And as with all old buildings, they need a lot of maintenance. So I hope it isn't a mold issue. But if it is, it will be dealt with in a way that OSHA would approve.
Okay. And F. Ann Rodriguez deciding she's going to retire. I know you're a longtime fan of F. Ann.
I think everybody's a longtime fan. I'm not
Indeed.
Her only fan.
Yep, she's got a lot of fans.
Over 20 years, almost three decades of service, and not once has there been a scandal in that office, and she's held that office, or have there been real problems. She's always, again, she's a row officer, but she has always cooperated with the board, and when we institute new policies, she tries to work with us to implement those policies rather than push back. And again, I think as you see with our elections, she's been terrific to deal with. We haven't had the kinds of problems we've seen in other jurisdictions. And if you need something recorded, I mean, all all the little pieces of her department seem to work very smoothly. I'm trying to remember if we've ever gotten a complaint about from a constituent about any problems they've seen at the recorder's office. And again, that's very, very usual.
All right. Sharon Bronson, thank you very much. I hope you have a good rest of the week. Thank you.
You too. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Sharon Bronson, Pima County Supervisor, with us on the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk here in Southern Arizona. Coming up tomorrow, yes, it's our quarterly Tucson Air Service update. So much been going on out at TIA. Some new air service coming on board. We're coming up with the winter season, which means we get some more nonstop service as we get into our prime time. So lots to discuss with Dick Grunzel of the Airport Authority tomorrow. On behalf of my friend Ray Allen, keeping those dials turned the right way, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.